Hey, folks, have you ever witnessed a miracle in your life? Now, I don't know about you, but I have. Now, when I think about a miracle, I think about something that happens or something that takes place that there is no way that anything could have happened by man's hand. It was something that happened at God's hand. Maybe it was something that you prayed for. Maybe there was a time when there was something you knew that you could not do, and it was going to take the hand of God moving in your life to make a change for the future. I've seen that in my life. I've seen that in the lives of people that I've had the opportunity to pray for, and I've seen God show up in some pretty incredible ways. But you know what? Along with those miracles that take place, often there's a message that comes along with it. So today, we're actually going to be looking at a miracle with a message out of the book of Acts chapter 3. So grab your Bible, come on back, in just a few seconds, we'll take a look at those passages. Folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're so glad that you're joining us today as we take a look at God's Word. And a moment ago, I just asked you in regard to miracles in your life. Now, I know that many people I talk to have said, yeah, there is without a doubt God has done some miracles in my life, and I've seen it through prayer. I've seen it when God has shown up and delivered when there's no way that man can. But I always like to ask the question that follows that. I say, what was the message that you learned from that particular miracle? Now, today, as we look at our passages, there's a lot of things that are going on in the book of Acts. This is the beginning, essentially, of the birth of the church. So let's go to the scriptures. Let's take a look at them. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 3, and we're going to begin reading at verse 1. And then we'll give you a little bit of background as we go forward. So Acts chapter 3. Beginning with verse 1, it says, Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes upon him, John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Verse 6, then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he leapt up, stood, and walked, and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk?" Let us look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time of study today. Father, you're good to us. Again, we come to you asking that you would speak to our heart. Lord, I pray that your word truly would just bloom in our heart today as we've been around it. We claim the promise that your word does not return void. So Lord, as we come seeking a blessing, we know that you will give that to us. Father, for these moments, I pray that you would bless me as your messenger for these moments. Use me as your vessel to disseminate your word in a clear way that people can understand it. So Father, right now, just bless our time as only you can. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we see a pretty special thing that is happening here and that is taking place. Essentially, we see a miracle take place. Now, a couple things as we head in to our Bible study today, a few notes that we want to understand. And this one of the things we need to understand is this is the first miracle after Pentecost. that took place. You know, the call of Christ came to Pentecost, as we read about in Acts chapter 1. And then this great revival began at Pentecost in the book of Acts chapter 2. You know, the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. You read about that in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And the apostles witnessed in a language that was understood by all. Once again, Acts chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. Now, at Peter's sermon, it's kind of interesting, also in Acts chapter 2, that when Peter preached, there were 3,000 people that were saved that day. So there was a great, great revival that was taking place, a great, great thing that was going on. But the interesting part about what we read about today was that it was more than a miracle that took place in the life of this man that we read about. The healing of the lame man was a miracle, but it was a miracle that carried along with it a message. You know, notice how the miracle and the message coincide with one another. So what is the message of the miracle that we read about concerning the healing of this man in our text today that we've read about in Acts chapter 3? Well, let's back up for just a few minutes. We consider verse 1, that we see that there were two that went to the temple to pray. Now, you know, as you look at chapter 3, verse 1, notice what it says. Now, when Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, which was the ninth hour. So this is a pretty simple thing. You got Peter and John, they're on their way to the temple at a designated time to pray. Now, that's another message for another day. But Peter and John, they're on their way to the temple. And you have to understand something about the temple. The temple was different now at the time of this particular text than it was before the cross. You have to remember, there was a change. The resurrection changed a lot of things. One of the things that I love to think about as I consider these particular passages is that when it talks about Christ at the crucifixion, it says that when he gave up the ghost, it says that the temple veil was rent or torn from top to bottom. Now, you have to understand what that temple veil was all about. That temple veil was what was around what is called the Holy of Holies. Okay, that was the most holy place, and only the priest could go into that area, and they only went in there once a year to make the sacrifices for the atonement of the sins of the many. So this was a very sacred area. There was, at that point, pre-resurrection, there was a mediator between God and man, and that was the priest. But the tearing of that veil was very symbolic of the fact that after the resurrection, there would not be but one mediator between God and man, and that mediator is Jesus Christ himself. In other words, today, folks, when you want to go to God, you don't have to go to the priest or to the pastor to have them go to God on your behalf. That's one of the great things about salvation. You can bow your head and you can say, as a believer, you can say, Father, yeah, I'm here. And he'll call you by name. He says, Roy, I hear you. And that is through Jesus Christ. You don't have to go through any other man to be able to get to God. As a believer, the only mediator between God and man is Jesus Christ. So that's very significant that at the time of the crucifixion, the temple veil was torn in two. By the way, if you want to read about that, you can go to Matthew's Gospel chapter 27 and somewhere around verse 51. You will read about that. So now, so all, you know, all can come into the Holy of Holies through faith in Christ today. It's not just some reserved area, and it doesn't take a man to get there. That is through Jesus Christ. So Peter and John, they come to pray at the ninth hour. Now, this was a traditional hour of prayer at the temple. It wasn't anything that was specifically unusual about their trip there to spend some time in prayer. But it was a time when the evening sacrifices were being made. Okay, it was a time to announce Christ's sacrifice to pay for our sins. So there was some specific things that were going on there. Now, you know, prayer makes miracles possible and our message more powerful. Okay, so we think about those two. We think about the two apostles as they made their way to the temple to pray. That there was also another one that essentially went to the temple, but he didn't go to the temple to pray. Verses 2 and 3 tell us he went to the temple to plead. This was the lame man that we read about in our text. He had gone there to plead. What had he gone there to plead for? He had gone there to plead for alms. He was asking for handouts. Due to his condition, he wasn't able to be able to go out and earn a day's wages, or he wasn't able to earn a living, so therefore he was a beggar. So there would be people that would take him, and then according to our text, they would take him to the gate called Beautiful, and they would give him that opportunity to sit there and beg for alms. Now, I don't know, assuredly somebody came by later on in the day and would pick him up and take him back home, but that was almost like his job. He would go out there and he would sit, and essentially he would ask those who were passing in and out and through the gate for something to help with, some alms, some, you know, how about a little bit of money so I can survive, or so that I can buy food, or whatever the case may be. Now, you know, prayer makes miracles possible, and it makes our message a powerful one. As this man came, you know, the word tells us that he had been lame from birth. This is all he knew. He didn't know anything else. He had never had the opportunity to walk in the past or to be a productive part of society. It was part of his life to be able to go out and be a beggar. He never knew the other side of what it was like to be healed. Now, we all walk lamely because we're sinners. Now, when you think about that as a spiritual metaphor, each and every one of us are lame, because the word tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means you, that means me, that means every single person that's born on this earth. We are born lame, as it were, spiritually, because we don't have, you know, we don't have salvation at birth. It's not that you're born and you're saved and you can lose it. It's just you're born lost, and if you're ever going to have salvation, it's going to be something that you can only gain through Jesus Christ. So you and I walk lamely in this world and in this life simply because we are all sinners and we all fall short of the glory of God. I can imagine what it must have been like for this man every single day to have to count on somebody to take him down to the gate, and for him just to be that beggar that everybody saw, and that a lot of people may have looked and said, hey man, why don't this guy just get a job? You know, every single day we come by, every single day you're out here. For a moment, think about your attitude when you see somebody along the street that's asking or begging for alms. Now, I know we live in the world we live in today, we're skeptics. Many of us are skeptics. We're like, well, is that person really in need, or does that person have a job? Is this just some way they're trying to scam us? Sometimes you know, sometimes you don't. But let me make you this promise, that when you reach out to somebody in that type of a condition, whether they're genuine or not, here's the one thing I will make you a promise, that when you reach out in the name of the Master, whether you provide something for them, whether you provide a meal, whether you provide a few bucks or whatever it may be, when you do that in the Master's name, that does not go forgotten by our Lord and Savior. So just remember that. It's up to them what they do, but when God leads you to do something like that, the results of that fall upon the person who was the receiver as to whether or not they were genuine. God will bless you as the giver because you've done it with the right heart, okay? Now let's go back to that lame man for just a minute. He had been living on the world's handouts. That's the only life that he had ever known. He had never been able to go out and do anything for himself. He had never been able to be productive for himself, or maybe even family members that are around from him. So everything that he knew in life was a handout from somebody else. Now, all sinners are seeking something to satisfy their emptiness. When you look around this world today, it is very interesting. Even those that you may know that say, I don't want to have anything to do with God, I don't want to have anything to do with anything that is spiritual, they are looking to fill some sort of void within their life. It is so ironic. For some people, they look to fill that void with money, some with houses or cars, or some with members of the opposite sex. I want to be family friendly here, but you know what I'm talking about. They try to fill that void with all these different things. As I think about that, it kind of reminds me of Solomon, who was the wisest man to ever walk. And even Solomon says, you know, in Proverbs, he said, I tried to do all these things to fill that spot. I tried to do all these different things to see what it would be that would make me happy. And he said, all these material things fell short Only God can be the one to provide you the peace and the love and the hope and the joy that you can have in your heart. So all sinners are seeking something to satisfy that emptiness that is within them. Now, for this lame man, you know, the handouts of the world are what leave us beggars pretty much with the same hope or without hope, whichever way you want to see it. The handouts of the world leave us beggars nonetheless. You know, when the world, remember what I said a minute ago, money's not going to fill that void. Yeah, you're still standing there with your hand out. Yeah, property's not going to fill that void. You're still looking for something else. It's interesting that I've met people in my life that never have been able to enjoy success, particularly when they've been on a journey and they're trying to fill that void with something that takes a long time. Yeah, for some, I've seen before that it was education, and they worked more than a decade, literally trying to fulfill, you know, with some sort of college degree, upper level education or something. And then when they finally reach that pinnacle, they're no more satisfied than they were before they had it. So what most people do is they begin to look for, what is the next thing I can try to fill that void with? Folks, that is not satisfaction, and the handouts of the world are going to still leave you a beggar. So if that is you and you are chasing the handouts of the world in this life, let me make you the promise, as well as Solomon, the wisest man on earth, nothing that you can pursue on this earth is going to fill that void except for God Almighty through His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. You see, this lame man that we've read about in our text today, this lame man needed something that the world could not give him. Yeah, he was trying to fulfill it. I think that many times, like this lame man, he just accepted that the next day was going to be just like the previous one, that he was going to find himself at the gate. He never thought for a moment that when he went out that morning that he would be walking before the end of the day. That just didn't seem to be very realistic to him based on the track record from the past. I mean, as all of his life, this is the way he had been. So what was it that changed along the way? That's a key thing. So I want you to hold on to that for just a minute. So we talk about, you know, two men on their way to the temple to pray. One man who was essentially at the gate that was there to plead. And then finally, there was one that went into the temple with praise. Now, that's verses 4-8 of our text today. You know, Peter saw this beggar's real need when he came up to him. And I've often thought about what that exchange must have looked like or what it must have felt like for all these years that this beggar has been sitting there and people have come by. And I'm sure that there are some that came by and just maybe, you know, dropped a coin or two, you know, into his hand. There were some that just never looked at him and turned their face away and just walked on past him. There were some that scoffed a little bit or made some little snide remarks or whatever it was. There were some that felt sorry for him. There were some that helped him, and there were some that didn't help him along the way. So I'm imagining in today's society what this exchange must have looked like. Yeah, essentially when Peter and John made their way up there and they saw this fella, and notice that the word says that they evidently made eye contact, and as they did, the man thought that Peter and John were going to give him something. They were going to put something in his hand. Maybe the expression of Peter and John led him to believe that. Now, the thing about it was, he was correct. Peter and John were going to give him something, but it was not what he expected. It wasn't even really what he was looking for. So he makes that eye contact, and he sits there, and maybe he reaches out to take what Peter and John are going to give him. And then it's very interesting what he said to them. And I want to go to this verse because there's something I want to mention about this in context and something I want to mention about it out of context. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, and this is the address. This is when Peter actually addresses the beggar. It says, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, I pictured what that conversation would have looked like today. You know, I think that when you're going along there and maybe you see that person who's standing out there at the street corner and you really do have something that you would like to share with them. Maybe it's not of monetary value. Maybe you don't have any money, but there's something that you would like to give them. You know, I've often thought that if I went up to one of the folks that's begging on a corner and I said to them, hey, look, man, I don't have any money, because that's basically what Peter told him. He said, silver and gold have I none. I don't have any money to give you. Well, normally when you say that in today's society to somebody who is out on a corner that's begging, they kind of give you the look. It's like, okay, then why are you here? If you don't have anything that can help me, just, you know, move along. Whether that's right, wrong, indifferent, or otherwise, that's often how it's looked at. But it was so interesting and it was so ironic what happened and what took place with what Peter said. And, man, I love it, because he basically tells the guy up front, I don't have any money to give you. Well, that's what the guy was there for. But then Peter goes on, he tells him, he says, even though I don't have any money to give you, I've got something that's even better than money. Now, I can imagine what must have crossed that man's mind at that time. He's sitting there going, okay, what do you have that you can give me that's better than money? Let me carry you back to that verse again. Verse 6 says this. This is what he said. He said, silver and gold I do not have. He just told him right there, I don't have any money to be able to give you. But then he says, but what I do have, I give you. He says, I've got something that I want to give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, for the moment, in the immediate moment that he heard that, I am sure that he thought, well, you know what? You're right. You do have something that's more valuable to me than money. If I could walk, there's so many things I could do. I could become a productive part of society. I wouldn't have to be begging for alms. I could go out. I could get a job. And yeah, you're right. You do. If you can give me that, then you honestly do have something that is better than money. Now, I'm sure all this went through this man's mind in a split second. And the reason I say that it happened in a split second is simply because of what follows in verse 7. It says this, and this being Peter, it says, and he took him by the right hand and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. It happened immediately. In other words, Peter didn't give him time to sit there and ponder it. He didn't give him time to sit back and say, well, what's going on? What is this like? What basically, you know, Peter said was, you know, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he grabs him by the right hand and he picks him up and he says, come on. Yeah, here you go. He didn't give him time to sit back and ponder and go, whatever. But what was interesting was that as the man did that, it says that his ankle bones and his feet and everything were strengthened. Man, this guy was probably loving life. Remember, he's been this way since birth. He's never walked before. And now he's standing on his own two feet. Now, I guarantee you at that point, he realized the truth in Peter's statement. He said, I don't have money to give you, but I got something even better to be able to give you. And folks, I can make that same claim today. And when I make that claim today, that claim is simply this. You know what? You may not have money. You may not be wealthy. You may struggle from day to day. But if you have the Lord, then you are wealthy beyond all measure. You can see the miracles take place, just like what this man did. So one went into the temple to praise. This was after the touch of his hand in verses 4 through 8. Peter saw the beggar's real need and met the real need. It wasn't just something to be able to provide sustenance for the day. It was something that was far-reaching. Yeah, I like what he told him. Silver and gold, I don't have that. But I have a greater gift to be able to give you. I got something bigger and better than a few bucks to put in your pocket. And the miracle, what was the miracle in this? The miracle was this, in the name of Jesus. Remember, Peter and John couldn't do this on their own. They couldn't do it in their own power. They did it because of who they represented. And basically, it's best to say they didn't do it. God did it, but he allowed them to be instruments in his hand. In the name of Jesus, this is what he said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And Peter takes him by the hand, lifts him up, and his feet are under him. They're steady. You know, with the gospel message, We can lift other people from sin and from shame. You can't do it yourself. I can preach all day long, but the power is not within this particular person. The power of the preaching is not within me. The power of the preaching is within the Word and within the Holy Spirit interpreting that to the hearer, and that's you. Okay? That's where the power comes from. Yeah, the miracle. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And I love what Peter did. He didn't say, well, let's see how you do. He didn't sit back wondering whether or not the guy could. He reaches out. He helps him up to his feet. And the man, now healed, it says in the Word, begins to leap. And it says he began to jump up and down and praise God. This man's never jumped up and down a day in his life, according to the Word. And it says not only was he jumping up and down, he was feeling those newfound feet underneath him, but he was praising God because he realized that mere man, Peter and John, they couldn't do this in and of themselves. He realized, and they also heard what Peter said. When Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that was the name. That was who he was praising. Folks, how many times do we praise God for the wonderful things that he does in our lives and even the miracles? I believe God is still in the miracle business today. I believe God is still doing miracles in our midst, and he is still going to continue to do so. But we have to make sure that we praise in the proper fashion and that the proper person gets praised. Now, back when our team went to Cuba, we had a very interesting prayer request from a pastor and his wife. And they said, hey, you know what? We've been attempting to have children now for several years, and we want you to pray that God will bless us with a child. And you know, a lot of people would sit back, like myself, and say, that's a pretty tall order. But you know what? I know God can do it. Ironically enough, back many years ago, we did the same thing. We had that same request from another pastor and his wife who had been attempting to have children for 15 years. Now, we gathered around him believing that God could, and we asked God, Lord, would you bless this couple with a child? And the great part about it is 9 months later, Elizabeth was born. Now, I'll try to keep you posted if we find out about this one. Now, I'm not saying that God's going to change his mind because I pray about it, but I'm also telling you this. Our group prayed believing that not only God can, we're asking God if he will. In fact, sometimes that's the way we pray. God, we know you can. The question is, will you? So, you know, I'm praying and believing that before long I will hear that this pastor and his wife are expecting a child. Not because it has anything to do with me, but it has everything to do with Jesus of Nazareth, just like it did with this man who was healed right here. So you know what? I'm praying that we will have the opportunity to hear that news about that couple. And when we do, I'm going to jump up and down just like the man in our text today. And I'm going to be praising Jesus of Nazareth, not Roy Carter, not the other three men that were with me when we prayed and asked this. But we're going to praise God. And I know that couple will too. This is something God could get the honor and the glory and the credit and the praise for because he is the one who deserves it. He will be the one who will bring forth that miracle, and he is the one who is deserving of the praise. So this man in our text is now jumping up and down, and he is praising God for what God has done in his life. Now, I want to ask you this question. When you have seen miracles in your life, are you praising God for those miracles, or are you saying, oh, well, you know what, the situation wasn't as bad as I thought it was, or somebody else stepped in and helped out here, or all of a sudden I had a raise at work and it took care of that financial need? Or are you sitting back and truly saying, Lord, you know what, all those things may have been true, but I believe they happened at your hand. I believe it was you that gave the raise to take care of this financial burden. Lord, I believe that it is you who provided the miracle in my life that's taking place. Whatever the means that it came about was, it came at your hand and it came at your provision. So like this man, we will jump up and down and we will praise the Lord. Now, it's interesting what we find out about this guy. He didn't stay at the gate beautiful and just beg for alms anymore. In fact, it says that he went into the temple and he did so with praise, praising and thanking the Lord. Can you say that you've done that as well? Remember, when God answers those prayers, he is worthy and deserving of the praise. I've said too many times, I think, that in life today, we get so busy. And we carry things to God, and He expects us to do that. We'll carry that list and say, Lord, I need you to remember this and that and the other thing and this person and this situation. And He wants us to do that. Don't get me wrong. But when is the last time that when God showed up in a big way in those requests that we're praying, when's the last time that we actually went and said, Lord, I just want to take some time to praise you and thank you for the provision, because I know that it was at your hand that these things took place. Can we say that we praise Him as much as we ask for things from Him? I hope and pray in your life you can say that. If not, then I want to challenge you to start that even today, to be saying, Lord, I'm going to stop and I'm going to praise you for the many, many blessings that you have provided, even the answers to prayer that we have prayed. So again, we need to note the reaction of the others in this particular miracle in our text today. How did other people look at it? They saw what was going on. They had seen this man sitting outside the gate pretty much all of his life begging for alms. I can imagine some of them saying, what's that guy doing running around up here in the temple? Isn't that the guy that's usually at the gate, you know, wanting handouts? We pass him every day. Every now and then we'll slip him a little something, but he's up running around. And I know that he's been this way all of his life. So what was the reaction of the people? The reaction of the people was that they were amazed. They knew that something had taken place because they knew this man had been lame his whole life. You see, the miracle that God did created an opportunity to be able to preach the gospel. It will do the same thing in your life. It will do the same thing in my life. When we understand where our miracles come from and when we begin to praise Him, it gives you that chance. It gives you that opportunity by which to share the gospel. Now, notice what I said a little while ago as we started our Bible study today. I said this was a miracle with a message. So what was the message? The message is, whosoever will may come to Him. And the same God that did this miracle is the same God that you and I today worship. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we ought to seize the opportunities to tell other people about Christ. I love this whole deal with Peter and John. And I mean, they had had all kinds of issues, man. They'd been out preaching. They got arrested. And I love the thing that they said. You know, when the officials said to him, it says they beat him and said, don't you go out and don't you dare preach again in the name of Jesus. And they said, you know what, we cannot, is it better for us to follow you or is it better for us to follow the call of God? But he said, nonetheless, we cannot help but tell others about the things that we have seen and the things that we have heard. Now, folks, have you heard and seen God do great things in your life? That is what He wants you to tell other people about. That is what He wants you to share with them. But make sure you give Him the credit for it. You know, He said, we can't help it. We're so excited about what God, we've seen Him do and what we've heard Him do. We cannot help but tell other people. And that should be our marching orders as well. So may we seize the opportunities to tell other people about Jesus. And folks, bottom line is simply this. Salvation is the greatest miracle of all. We talk about looking for miracles. Well, there's plenty of them in the forefront of our lives. But one of the greatest is the fact that salvation is provided through Jesus Christ, His shed blood, through His death, burial, and His resurrection. And it can provide eternal life for each and every one of us. Question number one, have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Listen, if not, you communicate to Him through prayer. You can simply stop what you're doing right now and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I know that. I need a Savior. I turn my life over to You. Save my soul. And He'll do it. And then I'm just going to ask you to pray, help me, Lord, to live for You in a way that reflects Your goodness, that others might see it as well. Help me to follow what Your Word tells me. You know, maybe today you sit back and you just need a miracle in your life. Let me tell you something. God is still providing those miracles in life. Yeah, the question is, are you the recipient? Are you going to be the recipient of one of those miracles of our Heavenly Father? Okay, let me go ahead and tell you what we're going to be looking at as far as our scripture text for this week that we're going to be studying. This week, we're actually going to be looking at passages out of Daniel chapter 5. So study Daniel chapter 5 this week. And then next week, we're actually going to be discussing the night of terror that we read about